I was surprised when I came into the chapel to see so many people. So I'm happy to have a large group. I mean, it's Monday. It's a lunchtime Monday. What are all these people doing here? Well, I think anyone who comes to Mass on a weekday knows that the Mass is an opportunity for us to get out of the swirl of the world, the muddy water of the world, and come to the fresh flowing river of grace that we experience in the church. It's in fact, the Mass is the highlight of the day, so good for you that you're here. It's a Monday of ordinary time, which has that unfortunate connotation that there's nothing special about it. Since we in Anuwim are always trying to draw the riches of the liturgical year, I just want to make a mention of something which is probably insignificant to almost everybody, but I think it is significant for those who follow the daily liturgy. And that is that today we start reading from the Gospel of Luke. Maybe you noticed it. Last week we were reading from the end passages of the Gospel of Matthew, or at least the parts of Matthew just before the Passion narrative, so very end of Jesus' public ministry. And now suddenly we're going to Luke at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Like, what happened? Well, this is part of the beauty of what the church did after the council. The liturgy before didn't have as many selections from the Bible, but after the council, they said, well, let's take more of the gospel and spread it out over the year. So of course, the Sundays follow this three-year cycle, but the weekdays in ordinary time, they break up the three synoptic gospels and spread it all out. So the first, I think, 9 weeks of ordinary time, the Gospel of Mark, I'm not sure of the numbers, but I think it's 9 weeks. And then another, is it 12 weeks of the Gospel of Matthew, and then now Gospel of Luke. So Mark first, and then Matthew, and then Luke, because there's 34 weeks in ordinary time. So now we're in the 22nd week. From 22nd week up until the 34th week, on the weekdays, we'll be reading from Luke. So that's why we're starting again, you could say, at the beginning of the gospel. So it's not ordinary because we get a chance to ponder the gospel. Now it is not the very beginning of the gospel. Luke's gospel has the whole story of Jesus' birth, right, and his childhood and the birth of John the Baptist and all those things in the first couple of chapters. Then in chapter 3, there's the introduction of John the Baptist as an adult, his ministry, and then there's Jesus' baptism, and then there's his temptation in the desert. So that's all before what I just read here. Then we get to this chapter 4, and the beginning of chapter 4 is the temptation in the desert. But then this passage, it's the beginning of his public ministry. It's his beginning of, after he has received baptism by John the Baptist, he's gone into the desert, defeated the devil, and now he's going to start proclaiming the gospel. And so he goes into Nazareth. He goes into, like, it's like he's starting from his roots, start from the very beginning. And that's what we're being invited to do. Go back to the beginning and see what Jesus is up to. And he goes into the synagogue and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. And at the beginning, the people are very favorable toward him because he is quite impressive. And then by the end, they're so furious at him that they're ready to kill him. So I think there's an echo here of what we heard yesterday, Sunday's gospel, when Jesus proclaimed himself. Well, he didn't find that much acceptance because he was proclaiming the cross. But then he got rejected by Peter himself, right? Oh, no, don't do that. That's never going to happen to you. This happens all the time. There's proclamation and then there's resistance. It happens in us. It happens in our nature. So it's just good to see it happening in the scriptures. What's going on with the people of Nazareth? Well, they're just being people. And that's what we do. We like what we like and we don't like what we don't like, and that's how we react, even to God. You know, a lot of what happens in our day is simply the unfolding of God's will. And whether we like it or not, that's how he works. So the question is, are we going to accept, are we going to embrace his will, whether we like it or not? Because in faith, that's always the right answer. Whereas our nature likes pleasure and hates pain. So that's how we're going to react by nature. Anyway, so here's Jesus. I'm going to focus just on the first part of the gospel. It's a long gospel. I'm not going to go into the business of their rejection of him. I just want to focus on the passage from Isaiah that he chooses, because he stands up and he's given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and it looks like he's the one who chose this passage. So it's very significant that Jesus wanted to read this particular passage. It's very end. It's a chapter in our Bible, chapter 61 of Isaiah. And I think there's only 64 chapters in Isaiah. So very end of the scroll. Maybe the scroll was already, you know, I don't know how you do it, but maybe the scroll was already near the end. I don't know. But it's kind of surprising that the passages were not selected for the one to read. Like we have, it's decided by the church. I don't know how they did it in the synagogues in those days, but it says here, he unrolled the scroll and he found the passage where it was written. And then we have a direct quotation from Isaiah 61, a little bit different than we have in our Bibles, but it's basically Isaiah 61. And this is very significant. Of all the passages of Isaiah that he could read, this is the one. Now, he could have picked out some of those passages about the suffering servant, you know, those passages that we read in Holy Week, where the servant is taking on the sins of others, and he's crushed. You know, he's so disfigured that we didn't even recognize him. He could have identified himself as the sufferer, kind of like he did yesterday. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die at the hands of the chief priests and scribes. He could start with something very stark like that, but he doesn't. And I think it's because he's at the beginning of the ministry. And when you start, you don't start with harsh words, scare people away. So he starts with something very appealing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now, anointed is the same term as we use for Messiah, right? Christ means anointed. So he has, you could say he's Christed me. He's Messiah'd me. He's identified me as the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord has pointed me out as the Messiah. Now, when Isaiah says that, he's speaking prophetically. But when Jesus says it, he's saying, and we get to that in a moment, this is being fulfilled right now as I say it. It's a very, very striking thing. So anyway, he says, the Spirit has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. I always let, whenever I see the word poor, I always look it up because I said, is that the anawim? Sure enough. The word anawim in the passage of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, is anawim. Bring good news or glad tidings to the anawim, which is what we're receiving now. That's why it's so great to come to Mass. Even if it is a Monday of ordinary time, we're receiving good news. And that good news, which we say in English, or glad tidings, is the same in its root as the word for gospel, proclaim the gospel. That's what proclaiming the good news is. Or you could even use the word evangelize. So I have come to evangelize the anawim. I have come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the gospel to the poor in spirit, to those who are willing to accept it. That's his mission. This is as if he's announcing from the very beginning it's his mission statement, his inaugural address. This is what I have been sent to do. This is what I'm anointed to do, to proclaim the gospel to the poor. Well, he said, well, why not to the rich? Yeah, he's also sent to the rich, but they're not listening. So the only people who can receive are those who are willing to identify their own poverty, those who are thirsting, or if you want to use the words of this beautiful psalm, those who say, Lord, I love your commands. We said it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Lord, I love your commands. Because I'm poor, I want to be fed by your word. That's what we're saying. And I love that. Whereas when we're rich, meaning when we're filled with ourselves and our own plans and our own will, we don't love the Lord's commands. We hate the Lord's commands because he keeps getting in the way of our plans. So that's why we have to be poor to receive the good news. Okay, Jesus says, I have come to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, oppressed, oppressed, go free, etc., to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Now, this is not what he means, but since we're following the liturgical life, it could say it implies the liturgical year. The liturgical year is the blessed season, or the way in which we enter into the blessings of the coming of the Lord. Then he rolls up the scroll, hands it back, sits down, and everybody's looking at him. Well, now what? After reading that extraordinary passage, which is a prophecy of the Messiah, then he says, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing, which was absolutely stunning. Nobody could say that except the Messiah, because who's the one who's filled with the Spirit of the Lord and is anointed by the Lord? The Messiah. So Jesus is saying, without being too blunt about it, I'm the Messiah. That's kind of what he's saying. And that's part of the reason why their reaction got so strong. Like, it's one thing to say, this guy's got a lot to say, or he's got something impressive to say. It's another thing to say, I'm the Messiah. Now, that's just too much. He's the son of Joseph. So, okay, I'm not going to go into that whole business about why they rejected him. I want to focus on what Jesus is up to here. He's announcing good news to the poor, proclaiming, he's evangelizing, and the good news is himself. He himself is the gospel, right? He's the good news. So that's why he says this passage is fulfilled now. In fact, all the prophecies are fulfilled in him. Everything that God promised is fulfilled in him. That's the extraordinary moment that we're pondering here on this Monday of Ordinary Time, this fulfillment of all God's promises. Or whenever we encounter Jesus, that's what we encounter. That's why it's such a privilege to come into the chapel where there's the Blessed Sacrament, or to hear the Word of God, because we're encountering this fullness, this abundance of grace that we don't find anywhere else. You're not going to find it in the world. There might be some hints, there might be some glimpses, but Jesus is the fullness. He's the fulfillment. Okay. Now, when it comes to announcing this good news, it's also true. Now, this is a little bit of an extension. It's not what Jesus says here, but we know that it's true that the Spirit that filled the Lord is the same Spirit that we received in baptism. We ourselves are anointed. We receive the Spirit. So we can say ourselves, we can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me too. All of us can say that. And it's important that we say it, because if the Spirit of the Lord is not upon us, well, what are we doing? Just that we're operating only on our natural gifts or our natural abilities, which are pathetic, limited. But it's important to say, oh no, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, which is a pretty big assignment. Now, how do we do it? Well, that's up to everybody's unique mission. But let's look at St. Paul, because his first reading comes from St. Paul. And he talks about what it was like for him to evangelize, to proclaim the good news to the poor. He says, he's talking about what happened when he went to Corinth. This is from the beginning of his first letter to the Corinthians, or second chapter. And he says, well, when I went there, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or wisdom. I didn't come with human strength, a human wisdom. I didn't come with natural ability. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Which is a very hard message to proclaim, because people resist the cross, just like they did in this gospel, just like we saw yesterday when Peter said, no, that will never happen to you. To proclaim the gospel is also to proclaim the cross. And this is what Paul says, I resolved to do this because I wanted to make sure that you get the real thing and not just a human word. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Of course he's trembling. Well, first of all, he came from Athens where he was rejected. So he's already, you know, humbled by that experience where he tried to use the wisdom of the Athenians. And he got to Corinth and he said, well, I'm just going to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. My message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, meaning human wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. So here's the contrast. This comes up all the time. The difference between human wisdom and divine wisdom, between a human word and divine word. We saw it yesterday when Peter got in the way of Jesus, and Jesus said, "No, you're an obstacle to me. You're not thinking the way God thinks. You're thinking the way human beings think. And that's your problem, Peter." And see, Paul understood that. If we just think the way human beings think, well, then we're not thinking like God thinks. If we're operating on natural gifts and natural powers and natural preferences, we're not using or relying on the anointing we have received from the Spirit. So Paul says, okay, I'm going to make sure that what these people receive comes from God and not just from me. It did come from him, but he was only the instrument, right? And that's what we all are. We're all instruments. We're all poor. We're all poor, but we have received a great treasure. We've received the Holy Spirit. We've received the gospel. We've received Jesus Christ. So we are, in that sense, all rich in what we can share with others. It doesn't mean you have to go preaching to everybody, but we all have to operate according to God's will and not just according to our will. That's the key to it. Whatever that might mean in the moment, sometimes it just means do your duty. Just do what you're supposed to do. In fact, that's usually what it means. But you never know. The Holy Spirit can move us to do anything, anytime, and we have to be ready. Okay, so that's a real little reflection on this ordinary day filled with extraordinary teaching, because Jesus has come and he's the fulfillment of every promise. He has given us, he has poured out on us his own Spirit so that we can continue his mission in the world.